This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. It's Friday. It's the first hour of the show. You know what that means. It's news panel time. Let's say hello to our panelists, Joita Gupta and Michelle McQuigg. Good morning, Joita.
Good morning, Dave and Michelle.
And good morning to Michelle. Look at Joita cutting me off there, doing her own hosting thing.
Sorry.
Joita's going rogue. Good morning, everybody.
It's a bad omen 30 seconds into the news panel when Joita's going rogue. We've got three topics on deck that span the country. So let's begin in Alberta. The two biggest cities in Alberta have elected new mayors. In both cases, there's a first. Amarjeet Sohi will be Edmonton's first person of color to serve as mayor. Sohi, a former Liberal cabinet minister, says he will show up every day to work hard for Edmontonians.
My name is Amarjeet Sohi. As a bus driver, councillor, and federal minister, I helped move so many people through this city. But tonight, I'm the one who's moved by this city. It is my profound honor to say that I am the next mayor of Edmonton.
Meanwhile, Jyoti Gondek is to become Calgary's first female mayor. Gondek says she looks forward to working with other municipal leaders and the provincial government to help Calgary thrive.
I look forward to meetings with my newly elected council colleagues. I look forward to meetings with my fellow mayors in this province. And I look forward to meeting with Premier Kenney's government to set a path forward for our future.
Joita, these new mayors have your attention. Why?
Well, I'm a woman of color. That is a little self-explanatory. So I'm obviously very pleased to see that not one, but two people of color were elected as mayors in two cities in Alberta. And of course, the fact that we've also had another woman elected, a woman of color, that was very pleasing to me. I think it's been touted, rightly so, as a historic achievement, and I think a lot about what this means for young racialized Canadians, the role models that they're going to have, and my hope, at least, as someone who loves politics, my hope, at least, is that by seeing candidates of color successful in elections, hopefully at every level of government, my hope really is that other people of color, young people of color, will feel motivated to be engaged with politics, to hopefully run for government, for politics, to get involved with campaigns. So all in all, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Joita, I want to stay with you on this front because this historicness of these two electoral results is a big deal. You mentioned the role modeling here, what it can mean for folks in the future. But I want to get you to sort of dig even deeper into that front in regard to the importance of firsts. Because Michelle and I have talked about this before over the course of the last few years. When there's a first in politics, it's automatically historic. But go a little bit deeper in regards to what that historic meaning is in regards to somebody being a first.
I think that it's a really good point that when something is a first, a glass ceiling is broken. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we've achieved social change. Think about Obama, and when he was elected, it didn't automatically put an end to racism. I think it signals that change is on its way, especially in a place like Alberta, which, and you'll forgive me for preempting some of the conversation here, a lot of people have often said that Alberta is a pretty conservative part of the country. So it really is quite remarkable to see two people of color elected to mayoral positions, especially, and this is the other part that I've been thinking a lot about, the fact that municipalities are so front and center in pushing the federal government on key things like housing. So when you think about the implications around having people of color at that table and the lens that they'll bring, I think it's really a way to bring forward a degree of systemic change. But it's not the be-all and end-all. It's the beginning, And there's a lot more ground that still needs to be covered.
Michelle, when Vice President Kamala Harris won alongside Joe Biden, and even when she was nominated for that position to be his running mate, you and I did talk about the significance of a first. I wonder if I can get you to sort of re-elaborate on some of those thoughts that we discussed way back last summer.
Sure. Gosh, that seems like an eternity ago.
It really does. It really does.
And I honestly, I'll level with you. I can't recall exactly what I was saying at that point. So I'll just react to this. And I hope my views haven't changed too much. Joita has raised a lot of really good points about the importance of these things, about the presence of having people who have historically been more marginalized at important political tables, especially at the municipal level. But for me, I'm a little more cynical about a whole lot of this whole topic, to be honest with you. First, for me, while I definitely think they're worth acknowledging and celebrating, I'm still sort of back at the place where I'm finding it a bit sad that we're having so many firsts of this nature in 2020. Calgary has not had a female mayor prior to this past week. Nayid Nenshi, who is Mayor Gondek's predecessor in the position, was the first mayor of color in that city. And the fact that these things are happening so late in the game is a bit disheartening and really speaks to all the messaging we've been hearing about the importance of diversifying politics, broadening that appeal, broadening those bases in all parties, really. So I'm always a little leery of a lot of excitement over firsts, but I do think they are worth acknowledging. And I agree with Joita that they are a sign that positive change is at least afoot, even if it hasn't arrived.
Yeah, it's not the end goal. It's only the beginning, right? It's giving individuals the power to be in these positions and start offering accountability and lived experience and perspective that hasn't necessarily been in those seats before. So it is positive change, but it is indeed just the beginning. The outcomes are going to be a bigger part of this. And of course, we going back to someone like Barack Obama, for example, some folks have accused him in really bad faith of saying, well, he didn't solve racism. Why is it his responsibility to solve racism? It's preposterous.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, can you guys hear my eyes rolling from here? Like, what? Yeah.
So I do think that it's really important that we can acknowledge the first, but understand that there's so much more that goes into this than just somebody being the first. It's people all mass buying in. Because even then, we have to look a little bit at the numbers, crunching it deeper. Mm. Both of these mayors were elected with 45% of the popular vote in the municipal election, which, by the way, is a really good number in the context of Canadian politics, but it still means 55% of the population of these cities aren't necessarily down with these mayors, right? So it does speak to a larger complexity in getting buy-in across these cities. But Joita, that's where you wanted to take us next, which is in regards to what this might mean more broadly to politics in Alberta, which I can't remember whether or not in this email thread I wrote back that Alberta is strange. And I think politics in Alberta are particularly strange. So Joita, I don't even know if there's necessarily an extrapolation to be made between the municipal elections and the provincial elections that are going to be coming up in the near horizon. What do you make of that? Do you have a stance on how this may be an impact?
I think it's certainly worth keeping an eye on, if you don't mind my saying so. Bear in mind that both the mayoral candidates who've been elected are probably left of center and so on the opposite side of a lot of issues compared to Jason Kenney. And they have both been quite critical of Jason Kenney's handling of the pandemic. Kenney himself is very unpopular at the moment. I think I've alluded to the fact in our email exchange leading up to this, but also in a previous conversation about Alberta, that the NDP is doing really well in the polls and Jason Kenney's having a pretty rough go of it right now. I think that these election results almost serve as a bellwether for the upcoming Alberta elections. Now, I know that, in 2023 is a very long way away, especially in the world of politics, and people might forget, and I acknowledge short memories and all that. But I think that there is something more happening in Alberta. I do get the sense that as we've seen at the height of the economic boom in Alberta, people from all parts of the country went to Alberta to work. My brother went to Alberta to work for a couple of years, much to my mom's chagrin. He didn't want him far away from home. But the point is, I think because there's been such a cultural milieu in Alberta over the last maybe couple of years, it's really changed the political landscape. I'm not as surprised that these people were elected. If you don't mind, a bit of a sidebar, I am surprised that in places like Toronto and Vancouver, where we have more or less a 50-50 split between the white and visible minority population, in both of those cities, which are on the surface far more diverse, we haven't had a single mayor of color. So I think, just going back to the point about the premier, I think this is going to be a way for Jason Kenney to be held accountable by his municipalities, particularly bearing in mind that he might now face some severe alienation from the two major cities, Edmonton and Calgary, and might be forced to be a little bit more responsible moving forward in the handling of the pandemic in particular. So, you know, we've talked about how he rushed to reopen, and I think he's not paying the price for that politically.
I think the rural-urban divide, like we saw in the federal election, certainly would apply to Alberta politics as well. NDP mm-hmm. has largely been a stronghold. The Edmonton has largely been a stronghold for the NDP provincially for the most part. The result in Calgary is a fascinating one, but it is fair to say that Naheed Nenshi was also something of a centrist, maybe left by Alberta standards, but centrist by national standards. So I don't actually know if there's a ton of application here to provincial politics, other than the fact that Jason Kenney is deeply unpopular right now. That to me, that's the bigger factor, more so than the election of these mayors. But Michelle, what do you think?
I have to say, sorry, Joita, our same brain mojo that we've historically talked about is not a thing today. I have to side with Dave a little bit, because I have to say both of the most recent mayors for Calgary and Edmonton were politically opposed to Jason Kenney. Naheed Nenshi and Don Iveson, who was mayor of Edmonton prior to this week, both of them have historically occupied centrist or left of center positions in Alberta politics. So by that standard, I don't actually foresee a lot of change in terms of municipal pushback and municipal tensions and whatnot. Who knows whether the change of players will exacerbate any of those things, but it's not that unusual, at least in the past 8 or sometimes even 11 years in Calgary's case, to see a different direction than what's been taken provincially, where things are really polarized and there isn't as much middle ground politically. There is an Alberta Liberal Party, but I don't believe they currently have any members of the legislature, or if they do, there's very, very few. So the main political players are either Jason Kenney's UCP or Rachel Notley's NDP. So there isn't a lot of middle centrist ground to occupy provincially, and I think that has contributed to some degree to an extra polarized environment over there. I tend to agree with Dave. The urban-rural divide obviously plays a major role there, and I think will be really interesting to watch as the provincial election unfolds. But Joita, I think you raise a good point by saying that these two mayors in particular have been quite vocal. The mayor-elects, I should say, have been very vocal about the public health measures. And despite talking about how I don't see a lot of change there, Kenny's opponents might find themselves with some helpful allies come election time.
I do think this would be a more notable result if not for the fact that the NDP formed government less than a few years ago in the province of Alberta. I think that if we were talking about the winds of change, I think some of those winds of change have already shown up on the provincial side in Alberta politics. Again, a lot of other cascading factors involved, whether it be vote splitting, whether it be the collapse of oil prices in 2014. There's so many different factors that play in here, but either way, I do think it's a really positive result.
We should mention oil is rebounding too. So that might change the picture in ways we're not anticipating.
Yeah, certainly the cost of a barrel is rebounding. Whether or not those jobs are coming back is an entirely different question. Hey, Joita, I do want to give you last word on this one, because of course there was some conversation in Ontario this week with Doug Ford doubling down on some comments that were at the very least insensitive in regard to the immigrant experience in Canada. Joita, when you kind of put those comments made by the Premier of Ontario in connection to this election result, are you able to draw parallels, or to you, are they separate?
You know, I've mulled over this one a lot. I'm tempted to want to draw a parallel, but I think in some respects it's quite separate. I think there's some benefit for immigrants to see these election results and to affirm that immigrants make positive contributions to our communities. But I don't know if one really needs to belabor that point. The election of the two mayors of color may resonate with Doug Ford's base, but Doug Ford himself has pretty much doubled down and is refusing to apologize. So I have thought about this all week and pondered if there is much of a connection, but I really haven't felt, to be honest with you, that there is.
Yeah, they're just two stories that maybe circle inside a similar orbit, but I don't necessarily think that they're related per se. Hey, Joanna, this was an interesting topic. Thank you for taking us out to Alberta.
Of course, my pleasure.
Coming up next, the Ontario government is proposing legislation to regulate temp agencies and recruiters. We'll discuss the deeper implications. This is the Now News Panel on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.